Hello, I'm Owen. Welcome to Wellspring Baptist Church Podcast. We're glad you're listening. For more information on all that's going on at Wellspring, please visit www.wellspringbaptistchurch.org. I hope this message is a blessing to you.
This morning, as we focus on the cross, Christ said this: "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And I believe that as Christ was lifted up, we were drawn to Christ. I cannot believe that there's any other explanation for why we're all here this morning, then that we've been drawn by Christ, that he has drawn us, that he has shown us himself. And I think that it's interesting that it was in his darkest hour, right, that we are drawn to Christ. It is in that the cross, his shame that he experienced, all that he went through for us, his humiliation. When you think of the cross, I mean, you think of there was never anyone that was ever humiliated like the Lord Jesus Christ, because there was never anyone who was so exalted as the Creator to be brought down to this earth and become human, the divine to become human, and not just human, but when he came to earth, he made himself a servant. He became obedient unto death. And as you think of his humiliation, you also think of the pain that he bore for us. The pain of the cross, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the nails. As the Bible tells us that he was nailed to the cross. He was pierced in his side. You think of the rejection as Judas betrayed him, as all the disciples, all but John, were not there with him at the cross. They had betrayed him. They went away. And even on the cross, when the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To think that he submitted himself to the cup that he had to drink. We looked at that last Sunday night about the great anguish that the Savior went through. The great anguish that he went through in the garden. Knowing that the sins he would bear, our sins, just as we sang about, our sins that would be put on him, the one who had known no sin, who had committed no sin, would thou bear our sins? And he submitted to that. He drank of the cup. He didn't turn away from any of it. And I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, tonight, this morning, we're going to look at the words, some of the last words, not all of his last words, but the crosswords. The crosswords. Some of you like the crossword puzzles that we do. But to think of some of the words that Christ said at the end. And I would say that there was never a word that Christ spoke that was not significant. The word that became flesh, every word that he said is life-giving words. But so important, the words that he would say on the cross as he is making the payment for our sins. So Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We'll start in verse 33. Luke 23:33, and the Bible says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." As I think about the last words of Christ, the cross words, and think that he, on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." I mean, what great grace. We sing Amazing Grace. I mean, that is amazing grace. There on the cross, no hate, no resentment, no bitterness to his creation that was crucifying him. Wow, what great grace, what great love that is shown for those who are lost and in their sins. Father, forgive them. You think of the song, "Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty." Where? At Calvary. At Calvary, right? Christ willingly came to the cross, so that our sins, so that my sins could be forgiven. He willingly came. Remember what he said to Peter in the garden, that he had 5 legion of angels he could have called, right? Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but my last words may have been a little different than Christ's last words. If I had that kind of an army at my disposal, that kind of power at my disposal. But instead of that, you know what he said? "Father, forgive them." And you know, the "Father, forgive them," these would have been empty words. These would have been shallow words without the payment required for forgiveness. I mean, it has so much more power when he says, "Father, forgive them," as he hangs there making the payment for God to justly forgive the unjust sinner. "Father, forgive them." The Bible tells us about our Savior in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, but without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's no payment for sins. He goes on to say in Hebrews 10, 4 and 5, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Christ became a sacrifice. His body broken for us. His blood shed for us. He prepared himself, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. And when he hangs there on the cross and says, "Father, forgive them," these words were not shallow or empty. He was making the payment for God to be able to forgive us of our sins, to be able to justify us, those who were condemned. "Father, forgive them." He's not saying, "Father, turn a blind eye to their sin." That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, "Cover up their sin." No, he's saying, "Forgive their sin." He's saying, "Clear their account on my behalf, because of the payment that I have made. Father, forgive them. My record's clear today," right? "For he washed my sins away." The old account was settled long ago. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." God made us meet, made us fit to be to be part of the family of God, to have an inheritance that is heavenly, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in his Son, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. Why? Because of his blood that was shed. As his blood flowed on the cross. You know what his last words were? Father, forgive them. Not just those that were crucifying them, but Father, forgive them. Those that should believe. Those that would come. Those who would become a part of the family of God. He's talking about you and I. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You and I can know that we are forgiven. You and I can know that our sins are covered by the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is the proof of his grace and the riches of his grace. Father, forgive them. I think of this song. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sing it with me if you know it. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Later in that same chapter of Romans 5, he says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You say, how do you know that grace abounded more than our sin? It's because while he was hanging on the cross, and while the unjust, evil individuals crucified him, his last words were, Father, forgive him. That's how we know he has great grace toward us. Great grace. The next one I'd like us to look at is found in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. These crosswords, all so significant. Crosswords. John chapter 19, verse 26. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I think this is significant, isn't it? On the cross, the Savior honored his mother. In his hour of darkness, in his hour of suffering, and the pain that if you just try to imagine that he went through, and the shame and the humiliation, he is caring for his mother. Not saying, Mom, help. Mom, get me down off the cross. Mom, fix my problem. Mom, do this. Mom, do that. No, he is making a way to care for his mother's earthly needs. He was taking care of her eternal needs on the cross, but he was making a way to care for her earthly needs. As he was dying on the cross, he's saying to his mom, "Hey, mom, this is your adopted son, John. John, this is your adopted mother. You take care of her," right? On the cross, John, one of the closest of the disciples to Christ. I think this is interesting, isn't it? That here on the cross, he commissions John. You know, he later, tells Peter to feed his sheep and commissions Peter. But I don't think that he gave John a lesser job than he gave Peter when he said, "Care for my mother." I don't think he did. Sometimes we may commission Peter to be the pastor of the church of Jerusalem or whatever. But he said, "No, I'm going to pick my closest, my best, my dearest disciple to care for my mother." There on the cross. John referred to himself, even in this verse, but throughout his gospel, he referred to himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that interesting? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And he commissions John here. He says, "Go care for Mary." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was in all points faithful. He was in all points faithful. He was faithful to the work of his Father, wasn't he? He was faithful to the work of his Father. He finished that. We'll look at that by the end of this message. But you know what else he was? He was faithful to his mother. He was faithful to her in her darkest hour. And this was prophesied about. When he was born, Mary was told in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And now, on the cross, he's caring for her. Commissioning John, he says, "Hey, go care for my mother. Comfort my mother." Here's another one. Turn back to Luke chapter 23. We're talking about cross words. Words that Christ said while he hung on the cross. Luke 23. Verse 39. The Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." You know, this is not repentance, is it? Now he's saying, "Save me," isn't he? He is saying, "Save me," but he is not repenting. This is not someone who is putting their faith. And you know what this is? We call it jailhouse religion, right? This is that get out of jail free card. Like your one last shot, like here I am on the cross. And if you are who people say you are and you are who you say you are, well, then get me out of my troubles. Get me out of my pain. Get me out of this death that is coming to me on the cross. But this is not repentance, no. This is just save me if you can, right? Yeah. But, verse 40, "The other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God?" You know, this other thief on the cross recognized who he was. "Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we indeed justly." You know what the other one said? "We're getting what we deserve." You know, we're on the cross because of the deeds that we did. We deserve to die. Our sins have led us to this point. We deserve the cross. We indeed justly, for we receive a due reward of our deeds. He's saying, you know, we're not getting a bad deal here. We knew what we were doing. We broke the law, right? Now we have to pay for the crime. I believe that this is the first step to salvation, is admitting that you're lost, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you have broken God's law. I mean, seeing yourself in that condition of in need of a Savior. He says, "But this man doth nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today." Amen. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're talking about the last words of, as he's hanging on the cross. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The repentant criminal. I deserve what I'm getting, right? I deserve, you know, he didn't say, get me off the cross. He didn't say, get me out of this trouble. He didn't say any of those things, did he? No, he admitted who the Lord was. He called him Lord. He admitted that he had done wrong. And he said, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. I mean, he recognized he's a sinner. He recognized that he was in need of a Savior. He recognized him as Lord while hanging on the cross. And that, you know, that takes a little bit of faith. He recognized him who was in the same condition as him, hanging there, beaten and bloody by the Romans. And he recognized him for who he was in that shape, in that condition. I find that's interesting. He knew he's about to die. But you know what he also believed? He believed in the resurrection. Because he knew that he was going to a kingdom. He knew that he was a king. He knew that this was not the end. He knew Christ was about to die, but he knew that that was not the end for him. He knew where he was going. He believed. He believed. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not with good works. Not anything else. But with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he says in verse 13 of that chapter, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know who that whosoever includes? Includes you. Includes me. And includes the thief on the cross. It includes the hardened criminals whose hearts turn to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see this thief on the cross. Isn't that amazing that that's who believes? I mean, I find this interesting. He said he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come for the sinners. And this was a sort of first fruits, if you will, of the thief on the cross that many more criminals, many more sinners would find grace, would find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I find this interesting that on the cross, with these crosswords that we're looking at, that how much attention the Creator of the universe, the Savior of all mankind, how much attention that he is putting on individuals in this moment, in this darkest hour of suffering. I mean, this moment on the cross was the biggest moment in human history since the creation, since they spoke the world into existence. This was the biggest moment. I mean, history is split by Christ, A.D. and B.C. The Bible from Old Testament to New Testament is split by this sacrifice that he made on the cross, the way to eternal life. And yet, while he's there doing the biggest thing in human history, paying for the sins of the world, he takes time to deal with individuals. And he's doing the same today. He takes time to deal with individuals. I believe that. I really believe that about our Savior. That he will take time for whosoever shall call upon his name. He'll take time for you. If you come to him in your hour of darkness, in your time of need, he was there to care for his mother. He was there to care for this thief on the cross who was willing to repent. I believe that the Lord would care for us. Oh yeah, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he is preparing a place for us now in eternity. He's busy. But he's got time for you. He's got time for me. I believe that. Time for us in our time of need. You know what he says to him? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's a change for this criminal. I mean, there he is hanging on the cross. You know, I do find though, the Lord didn't say, I'm gonna save you from this death. He doesn't say that. I'm gonna save you from, he had sinned in his body and he was gonna die in his body. But he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? He was this man who was dying on the cross, who said in his own words that this was not an injustice. that he deserved to die. In his own words, he said that. And so think about this. This man was not fit for this earth. He was such a bad person, he didn't deserve to be here. Society looked at this individual and said, you know what? It'd be better off that you weren't here. It'd be better off. We all would be better that you're not on earth. You're such a bad individual. And yet the Lord said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that amazing? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Wow. What great, great. You know, the Bible does say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He says, yes, when you die, you will no longer be here, but you will be with me in paradise. You know, this is salvation. This is salvation. This is the essence. This is why he died. You say, why? So that we could be saved. So that an individual like this, who has no hope, no hope, can have hope in Jesus Christ. If the thief on the cross can find grace at his last hour, literally. If the thief on the cross who deserved to die could find grace in his last hour, then there is grace for us. There is grace for you and I. This is that great salvation. Lastly, I want us to look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 30. John 19, verse 30, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. It is finished. I've finished the work that my Father has given me to do. You remember the story in John chapter 4. Where Jesus is ministering to the woman at the well, right? And then he begins to minister to those Samaritans that had come out of the city. And his disciples came to him and were going to give him something to eat. And Jesus said to them, as he's ministering to them, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. He said, I'm called to finish the work that the Lord, my Father, that God the Father has sent me to do. And while he was there on the cross, while he was being crucified, while he was in his shame, in his humiliation, in his pain, in drinking of the cup of the sins of the world, right before he gave up the ghost, right before he gave his life away for us, he said, it is finished. I made a way now for each and every individual to come to God. I had made a way. I had defeated evil. I have defeated sin. Just as it had been prophesied about the head of the serpent being bruised back in Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible says that there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent. And Christ would bruise his, the serpent's head, and he would bruise his heel. Yes, his heel was bruised. But when he said it is finished, it was finished. Yes, listen, it is finished.
Yes, sir.
You and I are being called to Christ and being brought to him in this time right now. But I promise you, judicially, it's finished. The decree has come down and sin is defeated.
Amen.
Death has been, not
yes.
will be. Is defeated. He finished it. He finished it for you and I. He made, there's no more payment for sin that needs to be made. He paid it in full, just like we sang the song. He paid it in full. I think of all those that were in blindness, whether it be the, you know, Judas who sold him with covetousness and or the high priest who just evil, and all of those, Pilate and on down, all of those willing accomplices to evil that crucified Christ. It's an interesting thing that as they did this, as they came, they defeated evil. When they brought Christ and crucified him, thinking that they were somehow accomplishing something by getting rid of Christ, right? What they really did is they defeated evil through their own blindness. Because when he died on the cross and made that payment for us, sin was defeated. Death was defeated. It is finished. He went all the way. The Lord Jesus Christ went all the way for us. He did not hold back. Yes, we saw at the garden where he despised the shame, where he was, again, anguishing over it. But we read there in the garden where he said, if it be possible, right? If it be possible, let this cup pass. And I said this the other night. It wasn't possible. There was no other way for us to know that we have eternal life. There was no other way. Christ had to die. He was the only sinless individual that could make the payment. He was the only one. There was no one else that could take our place. There was no one else that could pay for our sins. There's no way that we could ourselves. It's not possible. It was not possible. He was the only way to do it. And when he said it was finished, it was finished. The door of heaven was opened. There was the door, Jesus Christ, made a way now for each and every individual, whosoever, like we said, now to be able to come to God. The penalty for sin was paid in full. I love this song. Jesus paid it all. He didn't leave any. You know, I mean, I think it would have been fair. You know, most religions are kind of like, you know, let's do 80-20, right? We'll take care of 80, you do 20. I mean, you got to have some skin in the game, right? You won't really appreciate it if you don't pay a little bit, right? The whole Lord said, no. If I left it up to them to pay even 1% of this, we couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He paid it all. He paid it all. All our sin debt on the cross. It is finished. The account is closed. The job is done. It is accomplished. It is finished. At that moment, he had fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophets. He had fulfilled the law. It was like the contract of the Old Testament was finished, was accomplished. Not done away with in the sense that it was finished. And he himself brought about the new and living way. The New Testament. He himself did the work, finished it for us. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you today, like the thief on the cross, admit that you're a sinner? Admit your need for Christ as Savior? Would you trust him today? It is finished. You know, it is finished. For anyone who would have been there would have thought that he was the victim, if you will. I mean, he's there in his humiliation, naked, beaten, and despised and rejected on the cross. But you know what? It is finished was a cry of victory. That was victory. That was victory. That's why Paul, talking about the resurrection and the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the end of that chapter, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, Paul could not have wrote that, and we could not claim that had Christ not died and rose from the dead. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already given us the victory. It is finished. It is finished. Therefore, he says, because of what Christ has done, because of the cross, because he's made a way of forgiveness, because he's finished the work at the cross. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is finished. Now, we can know, not hope, we can know that we are forgiven, that our sins are forgiven through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Blessed be the King.
Thanks for taking the time to listen today. We'd love to hear from you and learn how you've been encouraged or challenged by this podcast. Leave a comment on the Contact Us page on our website or write to us at 2094 East State Route 73, Waynesville, Ohio, 45068. And feel free to visit us if you're in the South Dayton, Ohio area.